Blog Talk Radio.
Get into the show on tonight. I'm going to open up a chat room here, and again, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, I want you to call in. I want you to call in. We're going to open up the chat room. You can also go to the chat room and you can, put a question in through the chat room as well. All right. Now tonight on the show, we're going to get into a little bit of the book of Revelation, because there are some things that I just want to talk about. I just kind of want to just inform you and give you some information about kind of what's going on in the political scene, but also prophetically speaking concerning end times and concerning the book of Revelation. This is 2011, and there's a whole lot going on. And so, especially as Christians, we just need to be real focused. We need to be in prayer, but there's a whole lot going on. So it is of a necessity that we actually emphasize and zoom in on the education of our youth, because there are a lot of political and spiritual agendas that are going on in the earth realm. And a lot of people who do not know what's going on, they have no idea that a lot of stuff that you see in the political realm is coming from a spiritual realm. And so that's what we need to address. That's what we want to address, so we can begin to just hit on some areas. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to start with, I have to do this because I'm going to lay a quick foundation, but I need to start off with, I got to go back to the book of Genesis. I did a message a while back. I did one of the radio shows, and what we talked about angels, giants, demons, and UFOs in the end times. And I did that show. That was one of the best shows that we got responses to. That was a good show. A lot of people liked that. They found that very informative. But I'm going to mention that show again. I want you to go back and check that show out. There was a lot of information in there concerning angels, demons, UFOs, and the end times, and giants. But I have to kind of recap on that, because a lot of stuff you see going on right now, you know, in the political scene, is coming from a spiritual origin. And in order to understand what's going on, you must go to that spiritual origin so you can lay down a foundation. And so that is, I mean, it's just paramount. You have to study angels, demons, and UFOs. And so I'm just going to talk about that for a little bit on tonight, because these spirits, now when you go to the book of Genesis, and I'm going to lay a quick foundation here, and then we're going to get to the meat of the message. But in the book of Genesis, in chapter 6, and if you are listening, and you, have your Bibles out, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 6. And go to Genesis chapter 6 with me, because Genesis chapter 6 kind of outlines what we call, or what we use as a background to demonology. It also needs to be taught when you're referencing angelology, because you need to contrast the two. Yes, there are angels that are in heaven that are created beings, but you need to contrast them with demons so you can understand the two, understand the natures, and understand the differences between the two and their operations and administrations when they do what they do. The Bible tells us that angels are heirs, hearken to the voice of those that are heirs to salvation. That means they serve those that are heirs to salvation, which means they serve us, they serve the saints. That's why when you decree or you declare the word, you get the mental picture that angels hearken diligently to that word that comes out of your mouth, because it is superimposed with the creative force or the creative vibration of God. Because when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, when you decree, you declare, when you speak, and when you prophesy, creation recognizes you, because superimposed in your spirit on your voice is the vibration or the recognition of the power of God or of the voice of God. Because what is Jesus but what? The sound of God. So when we speak, angels hear that word, and they go and they obey that word. That's why we get immersed in the word. We get immersed in the will of God, so his will becomes our will. That way, when we say something, when we command and decree and declare, angels hearken digitally to that word, And they hearken to that word to make it happen. So in the book of Genesis 6, Genesis chapter 6, when you get in this chapter here, this is one of those doctrines that a lot of people don't teach on. There are, you know, very different doctrines according to some. There are different interpretations. There are different ways of breaking this down and interpreting this. But when you read Genesis chapter 6, I'm going to read this chapter here, and it says, I'm going to read a little bit of it. For the backdrop of this, we understand this was the time when the earth was made. Noah, the earth was filled with people. Noah was selected to make this ark. And at this point in time, there was a lot of evil going on. And it says here, and it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them. We understand that. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and that they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Now, I'm going to leave that part of the scripture, that he also is flesh all alone. But it says, yet his days shall be 120 years. This is where people get the idea, the notion that the lifetime of man is 120 years. They feel that it was cut down to 120 years because we can see that the oldest man in the Bible was Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years old. Now, verse 4 is where we want to go. Verse 4 says, and there were giants in the earth in those days. And after that. So it tells us that there were giants in the earth in those days and after that. In those days when these people were on the earth, and then it says, and after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, what this is telling us and what this is letting us know, and we need to see here, you need to translate the Bible with the Bible. The term sons of God is used about three times in the Bible. It's used in the book of Genesis. It's also used in the book of Job when it talks about, and Job came among the sons of God. They were having a meeting, and Satan came among them. And then it's also used in the book of Daniel, women when they were in the fire, and it said they saw one like unto the Son of God. So the term son of God in the Old Testament must be separated from the same terminology that's used in the New Testament. We know in the New Testament when they let us know that now are we the sons of God, as the scriptures say, it's talking about the salvific experience. But in the Old Testament, the term sons of God, that terminology is usually a reference to angelic host. It's a reference to a divine being. So when you go here to this scripture and you see that it says, and after that, it says that the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bare children to them. And the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown, men of renown, men were of, you know, these men of old. These are the people. Now, you know, today, and I'm going to connect this. The Bible just lets us know these angelic or spiritual beings came down to the earth realm. They mixed with human flesh, and the resulting hybrid, and I need you to hear this, the resulting hybrid of the divine nature and the human nature, or that flesh nature, ended up being giants. This is how giants came into the earth. This was a hybrid entity that was now in the earth realm, and it was super strong, and it had powers, and they could do different things. Now, this is why the Bible says that these became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Why? Because these were your stories. These were your myths, as it were, of your Hercules. This is where you got all of your myths of men who were superhuman. They had super strength. They were gods, this, that, and the third. Why? Because they had powers. They had a divine nature that was a part of them, and they were giants in the earth. This is also, you know, you see this in many different religions. You see this when you go into Greek mythology, how they talk about the clash of the Titans. I know a lot of people may have seen that, but according to Greek mythology, you had Mother Earth, Gaia, Father Sky, Jupiter or Uranus, and they had children called the Titans. And the clash of the Titans, these Titans had children, but there was a war. And so at the end of the war, the Titans were locked up for judgment. They were locked up into the bowels of the earth, and their children took over, and the Titans were locked up in the earth. Their children took over, but their children became what was known in the Greek mythology as those 12 gods, that pantheon of gods. And Zeus, of course, became, you know, he was the king of the gods, and Hera was queen. That's where you get this story from. And so it's not just in the Bible, but this is the same story that goes into the Incan history, goes into Mayan history, every ancient history, including if you go all the way back to the Sumerian history. And it's actually interesting, when you study Sumerian history, they have a group of beings that they call the Anunnaki, and the Anunnaki being translated, those who from heaven came, or those who from heaven fell, those who from heaven came. So they have a history of some entities, and they called them gods who came down to earth and mixed with mankind and exchanged technology with man. So this is in ancient cultures, but it's here in your Bible also, and this is where it comes from. These angels came down. And these angels mixed with humans, and when they mixed with humans, this hybrid, the hybrid was giants. Giants were here in the earth, and this is where they came from. And they had what you would call them supernatural powers or supernatural strength, or they just had powers or abilities that were stronger than the rest of the people at that time. And verse 6 says, and actually let's go to verse 5. It says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and every creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace. I had to read that passage of scripture because this is the passage of scripture. This you have to understand this. For end times, if you call yourself a prophet, you need to really understand Genesis chapter 6. Because if you understand Genesis chapter 6 and you get a right understanding of demonology and the doctrine of demons, you can use this and it will help give you clear vision on what's going on. These same spirits, these angels that fell from heaven, the Bible lets us know there was a group of angels that were judged and they were locked up for judgment. Now, what happened when God destroyed the earth, he baptized the earth. We know that the flood was the first baptism, and the flood is not only mentioned in the Bible, but is mentioned in other cultures as well. So there was a great flood that happened in the earth realm that is documented in other cultures. He baptized the earth. He cleansed the earth of these entities that were here then, and everybody saved the lineage of Noah. He saved the lineage of Noah, those 8 individuals, of course, Noah, his sons, and their wives, the animals, and Noah kind of rebuilt the earth. So he saved them, and Noah kind of, you know, he repopulated. So when they did that and they repopulated the earth, God made a covenant, you know, of course, that he would not destroy the earth in that way again. But now the earth is being populated. Now, what did Jesus tell us in 24? Because people say this. They say, oh, well, giants were here then. And then, OK, well, if the flood destroyed the giants, why are they here now? We see giants in the scriptures. They're called the Nephilim. We see them in the scriptures. You know, Goliath was the giant. We see these giants in the scriptures. But here is what it is. Jesus lets us know that just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So just like it was in the days of Noah, he tells us this in Matthew 24, it will be like that in the coming of the Son of Man. And what does this mean? This means now if we compare and we contrast what happened in the days of Noah, man got very wicked. Man was doing whatever they wanted to do. They got wicked. But also in the days of Noah, it tells us that the sons of God, these angels, these entities came down to the earth and they begin to mix with mankind and produce these hybrids called giants. And they begin to do that. And so Jesus said the same thing would happen in the coming of the Son of Man. UFO phenomena it has gotten kind of heightened in the last few years. But connecting these two, you need to understand that these are the same ancient spirits, because when the earth was destroyed, though the angels were placed in judgment, these giants were still here. And what happened was the earth, of course, destroyed their flesh. So their flesh was destroyed. They were killed. But because they were a hybrid spirit and their body was both divine as well as natural, their spirits remain here in the earth realm to receive judgment towards the end, because their spirits could not get judgment. They were part divine and as well part human. But this hybrid creature, that's what their spirits were. Their spirit remains in the earth realm, and their spirits will receive judgment towards the end. How do we know this? If we go to the book of Corinthians, Paul rebukes the Corinthians when he tells them. He says, you know, you're taking each other to court over these matters. He said, know ye not that we shall judge angels? Who are these angels? These are the same angels. These are the angels that are locked up. These are the ones who committed this crime. And the Bible says, let us know there are angels that are locked up in Tartarus. These are the angels that we need to judge. It was these same angels who came down. They mixed with mankind and had this hybrid race of entities called giants. The flood came and destroyed their bodies, but their spirits are still here in the earth realm. and their spirit, the spirits of these giants or these race of beings who were here once before, are the same spiritual entities that have been here for thousands of years that have been plaguing mankind. They know that their time is up. They know that they will never get bodies. They know they're going to be judged. So the only thing that they can do in revenge is to plague mankind. And what is the number one way to kind of not smack God in the face, so to speak, but to plague mankind? What they do is they use suggestions. They use any mechanism that they can use to be able to possess or get access to the human body. And they do that through the mind and through the spirit. They do that through consciousness. They do that through suggestions. And so this is why you needed to have a foundation for this, because understanding that these are the same ancient spirits that were here from the beginning, they are here right now. They're not using any new tactics, but these same spirits are here, and they use suggestive mechanisms. They promote their agenda through doctrines. And now, and this is where I want to transition. These are the same ancient spirits that were in Genesis. They know their time is up, and they know they're being judged. So what they want to do, they want to destroy the image of God. Man is made in the image of God. And in order to do that, in order to implement their plan, they want to possess mankind. And when they possess men, when men allow them to possess their bodies, they can possess a human body because they don't have a body. They wish to have a body again because they had a body before the flood. They want a body again. And why do they want a body? So they can do those same damnable deeds that they did before the flood. And they do not care about human life. They want to kill human life, but when they possess a human body, they want to go forth so they can use that human body to push their agenda. And because these same spirits are here, the other entity, of course, we talked about Satan. Satan is called Beelzebub. Beelzebub is a word that can be translated Lord of the Flies. A better translation of Beelzebub would be Lord of those who fly. Because Satan was cast down to the earth realm, that's why he is called the prince of the power of the air. And if Satan is the prince of the power of the air, he has in his army these spirits who are with him, and together they wage war against mankind. And how do they wage war against mankind? They wage war mentally against mankind, and they wage war against mankind using mankind's own body by way of demonic possession, how we term it in the Christian community. Now, this needs to be connected over, because the Bible talks about in the last times men will give heed to seducing doctrines and doctrines of demons. And what we have here over the past 150 years, we have these doctrines of demons. We have Nietzsche. We have a philosopher, Nietzsche. We have, you know, Ayn Rand. We have Marxism. You know, we have socialism. We have Nazism. We have all of these heinous philosophies and doctrines. These are doctrines of devils. These are doctrines of demons. Hitler was possessed. These entities seek out men who are in high places, and they try to manipulate them. If they can possess them, then they are now in control of people. They are in control of countries. They are in control of policies. And this is key, because this needs to be known, especially during the end times. Especially, you know, as Christians, we have people who call themselves prophets, and they want to tell you what your phone number is and how much money you're going to get and what a car you're going to have in your house and, you know, your name and your husband and your wife and this, that, and the third. That's called operation of a word of wisdom and knowledge. That's not called a prophet. A prophet is somebody who warns, they correct, they admonish, they tear down, but they also build back up. And they decree and declare towards the future, and they give voice for those who do not have a voice. But they cry loud and they spare not. So prophets speak on things that are to come, and they speak on things that are, yes, in the now, so that people will be able to prepare for those things that are to come. The whole purpose of the prophetic word, when it's accurate, is to come to you so you'll be able to make some changes in the now to prevent some things in the future. Now, that's one of the purposes of prophecy. When you talk about eschatology and end time prophecy, there are some things in the Bible that are going to happen because God says, I am going to judge this world. Now, the church is here. And because Jesus told his apostles, when Jesus came on the scene in the beginning of the book of Acts, they asked him, you know, are you about to establish your kingdom now? And Jesus basically told them, I'm paraphrasing, he said, I don't even know the time. He said, the times and the seasons are not for you to know. So that lets us know that the presence of the church here, we can hold back that time. We can push that time forward. We can do it by commission, and we can push it, you know, we can push it forward, or we can do it by omission, and we can make it come quicker. But we are in the earth realm, and the presence of the church and the Holy Spirit is the only entity that's with strength, that's withholding, that's restraining the Antichrist from fully being revealed and from fully being taken over. And then that's where you get into the rapture and those doctrines. But I said that so people would understand. You get knowledge, you get this information so you can implement it. And understanding that these same spiritual entities, these demons, these principalities, powers, and rulers of darknesses who had bodies, they want to have bodies now. And that's why we fill our minds with the Word of God. And so they possess people now, and they hide within people's personalities, and they lodge within people's personalities, and they're some of the best actors that you can find. And so they hide themselves in society. They hide themselves among people. They use a psychology. They use mass manipulation, and they try to control people so they can get in certain positions. And once they're in power in a certain political position, you start to then see great changes in the political atmosphere or environment of a country, because once they're in, they begin to write bills and policies and charters, and you start to see all this legislation come by. You see a new wave of legislation. And so we have to really be keen and discern. You have to say, like liberalism. Liberalism is nothing more than a common name for Satanism. Those that know what Satanism is, a Satanist is somebody who believes in the power of the human spirit at the utmost. They don't believe in any God. They believe in perfection. They believe in doing everything the right way. They're somebody that they're very elitist. They're always people that are part of a secret society or part of a cult. They think they're higher and better than everybody else. They're racist as well. And so there are a lot of things that come with that. So liberalism is nothing more than Satanism. And why did I make that comparison? Because also in Satanism, you know, they'll tell you that the whole of the law that they believe, the whole of the law is do what thou wilt. Do what thou wilt. Do what thou will. That means whatever you want to do, as long as you feel is not hurting anybody, you can go ahead and do it. Hello, liberalism. And when liberalism comes into a nation, is nothing more than a form of mass manipulation. Liberalism right now is coming into the United States so that it can tear down the family structure. Man was made first. Woman was made second. The man is being torn down. Why must the family structure be torn down? Because this is a plan. When we go into the book of Revelation chapter 13, and we understand that the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, but guess what? You cannot have resistance if the man has been programmed. If the man is out of the picture, if you shut down the image of the man who is made in the image of God, who represents the authority of God, if you shut down the ability of a male to be able to think for themselves, to be able to discern, to be able to resist, then you can come in and do whatever you want to. If you have a family and you shut that male down and you break his mind and you break his spirit, then the whole family goes where the male goes. This is why we have there is that's why everything in the culture, you know, we watch BET, all these for years you've seen the black male, you know, just torn down. We see all these negative images. It's programming. We see our kids running to hip-hop. Hip-hop is nothing more than another image of the father figure. You see all these things happening because it's a dumbing down of authority. It's a dumbing down of the family unit. And that's exactly what liberalism comes in to let. You can do whatever you want to do, do it however you want to do it, and it gives the similitude that you really have a right. And anyone that knows politics, you understand that, you know, rights, how can I say that? Rights, democracy is really an illusion. You know, we say we have the freedom to do this. You only have the freedom to do what the law says you can do. And that's in any country you go to, even in the scriptures. We have freedom in Christ, but we're still bond servants to Christ because everything is lawful, but everything is not expedient. So it's the ignorant individual that really thinks that you really have freedom to do whatever you want to do when you're really under the bondage of the law. And so this is why people in the body of Christ, you need to tell people that you know that you need to pray against the laws. You need to pray for these spirits that are influencing and affecting our lawmakers, our politicians, our senators. You need to pray for those that are in political position, and you need to pray that these spiritual powers and these rulers of darkness don't have access to them. And you need to pray for the bills, the laws, and the charters and the policies that are made in your areas, because there are demons that are trying to control legislation. They're trying to influence the legislation. And going back to the father and the male, that's why we see the homosexual agenda being spread, because if we allow this, and this agenda is being piped down everyone's throat. They're trying to introduce it to the kids. They're introducing it out to, you know, the church. Now you have, there was an article, Lexi, who does a gospel, she does a gospel TV show, and she interviewed a gay pastor from Atlanta, and he is married, and they call him First Gentleman, and she interviewed them and what they were doing. And you can find that on YouTube and go see that video. But what they were doing is talking about how they were being blessed and this, that, and the third, and whatever the case is. And so we need to be wise as to what's going on, and we need to be discerning, because that agenda, that homosexual agenda, also aims to tear down the male. It's also a undercover method of population control, because if everybody if that is promoted, the more that is promoted, the less people that are birthed. We also know that the birth rates in the United States are declining. So that's just a subtle way of population control. Also, you push the homosexual agenda, you also push liberalism. And liberalism comes into a country right before a country is on the brink of shutting down morally, ethically, and economically. So this is why you must be in prayer, especially concerning these things. And we must be able to point these demons out in society. You have to point out what's going on. And so this is what is happening, and this is why prayer, recognizing demons, recognizing spirits, because now spirits are hiding behind political agendas. Liberalism, no, that's not liberalism. That's the Epicurean spirit. That's a spirit that says, eat and drink for tomorrow we die. Anything is okay. Anything goes. And so it aims to tear at and tear down morals, tear down ethics. And so what's going to ultimately happen is Christians are going to be persecuted, because any Christian that stands up and say, you know, when they make it, they're trying to make it a law now where, you know, it's hate speech to say, I don't agree with homosexuality, or I don't agree with this, that, or the other. Well, how far is that going to go with our illusion of democracy and freedom of speech or whatever? How far? It's a freedom as long as there's not a law made against it. And so as Christians, we sit down and we get in our churches and people shout, pray, you shout, dance, do what you do. But we're ignorant to the fact that we need to have some focused and strategic prayer that is aimed against these demonic principalities and spirits that are making it their goal to aim and to make a fight at legislation, and that's what they aim for. So while people are praying for a house, this, that, and the third, your child is being exposed to all sorts of things at school. Why? Because you're praying for a house, you're praying for money. By the time you get your money, your house, your car, your clothes, your child is going to be gone. And so it's going to be up to you to be able to focus on raising your kids and giving them ethical values, giving them morals, and teaching them right from wrong. And the Bible lets us know, woe to them in Zion that call good evil and that call evil good. There is a judgment that is coming. And so we really need to emphasize that, because there is a passage in the book of Ezekiel, and this is before the book of Revelation. This is before, way before the book of Revelation. There's a passage in the book of Ezekiel, and the prophet has a vision. And in this vision, the angels are given a command to go into the city, and they are given an ink, and they are told to place a mark on everybody that is crying out against the abominations. And they went and they placed a mark on all of those that were crying out against the abominations that were going on in the city, and what the rest of them were told to do. And then he said, good, once they are marked, everybody else, he said, utterly slay them. He said, kill them. And so this is before Revelation. This is in the scriptures where you see these angels take a mark and they go into the city and they place a mark on those who are crying out against the abominations, and everybody else, man, woman, boy, child, old, you know, young, they were killed. This is a warning, and this is a message that we can get to, that the times are getting harder. Persecution is going to get higher, especially on Christians and those that stand flat-footed. And you need to know where you stand. You need to really know your word, and you need to start memorizing your word, because believe it or not, it's going to come a time where Bibles are going to start to be confiscated. Because now, what's going to happen to the chaplains in the military service who now are Christian? Can they preach against homosexuality now that the Department of Defense has made it, you know, legal, now that it's good? What's going to happen to them in their careers? What's going to happen legally with that? You know, you understand what I'm saying? So there's going to be a whole other level of persecution that's going to come. And especially as Christians, this is the season where we're going to have to just unify, help your brothers and sisters out. But we need to get in some strong prayer so that we can begin to hold back. It is the prayer of the saints that holds back the enemy, especially in the heavenly places. There are people that are called to intercede right there in their homes. When God wakes you up in the morning, or he wakes you up at 11 or 12 at night, you need to get up and begin to intercede right there for your city. And when you begin to intercede, God opens up a portal and angels can come in a mass, and you can begin to decree and declare and prophesy. And if we really believe what we say we believe, you are not going anywhere. You are not going to die until God says the benediction over what he's called you to do. So that is the boldness that you can have, especially in these last days. And it's getting to the point now where we're going to really have to have the God kind of faith. We've been saying that we want to see miracles, and we've been saying that we want to see the power of God and the healing of God. But what's about to happen in this season, there's about to be a judgment on the earth itself. I remember there was a prophecy about California, and I couldn't understand why California had so many quakes and always had earthquakes until recently, when the Lord dropped the word in my spirit, he's about to shake California again. And when I did the research, I'm like, why is California always being shaken? If we do the research, you will find out every heinous doctrine that has been promoted in the United States comes out of San Francisco and L.A. Satanism, everything, homosexual agenda, a lot of your doctrines and things come out of L.A. and San Francisco. And when you do the research behind that, you will find Hollywood. Those of you that know about Hollywood, Hollywood is full of Satanists. You know, you can look up Chris Rock right now. You can look up some people who kind of got out of that scene because people are trying to get them into things, and they kind of, you know, just step back. It's full of Satanists. They control Hollywood. They have the money. And they do a whole lot of other things with it. Secret societies. People don't want to hear that. You have Freemasonry. You have the Eastern Stars. You have, there's a whole list. You have Knights Templar. You have, you know, there's a whole list of secret societies for Christians. Jesus was clear on that. And people don't want to hear it, but it's just the Bible. Jesus was clear when he said, let your yes be your yes, and let your no be your no, and anything other than that is of the evil one. And why I am saying what I'm saying is because these are days that are coming. There are people, you know, it's almost like a hitman. You know, today the only protection that you will have is the power of the Holy Ghost, is the sheer miraculous power of the Holy Ghost. These are the days where, like, when Philip was in the Bible, he preached in one place and the Bible said he basically disappeared and appeared in a whole other part of the planet. He was raptured and he reappeared in a whole other part of the planet. When we saw in the Bible where there were decrees and judgments given on leaders, these political leaders who stood up as God and thought they had enough power as God. We see now that, like with Herod, and the worms ate him. Herod fell. Herod died. When he thought he was a God, we saw that judgment was placed on his life. And it goes back to John the Baptist. When he decreed the judgment and convicted the king wanted him killed. But so be it. These are the days when the prophet is killed, the judgment is incurred on the country, on the people. And these are the days where the judgments are going to be decreed and declared on land masses. I know we've had a lot of hurricanes and we've had a lot of tornadoes and we've had a lot of earthquakes, but it's about to get hot again. And it's about to be a great shaking. And we're going to see a whole lot more of these judgments. Matter of fact, we're going to see a lot of political leaders as well. They're going to be sicknesses. I believe there's some leaders right now behind the scenes. They're trying to hide these sicknesses and diseases that they have, but it's only a matter of time before it's known. And there are a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes. And this is why the earth is groaning right now, because it's groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, because it's getting close to that time for that son of perdition or the Antichrist to be revealed. For those that know the Bible, and we're going to go to the book of Revelation, and that is the meat of this message on tonight. We're going to go to the book of Revelation because we want to talk about the Antichrist and the signs of the times. When you look at TV, when you see all these countries and their leaders are being overthrown by the people, you know, we see anarchy going on in these countries. We see all these things going on. We see judgments happening in diverse places. But politically, what's happening politically and economically is a setup for the Antichrist. Before there can be a one-world government and a one-world monetary system, the United States economy must be destroyed. Now, and why is that? It has to. As long as you have someone whose dollar is as strong, whose economy is as strong as the United States economy is, there can be no one world monetary system, because that country will rule. That country's economic system will be more powerful. And so it has been a system that has been going on for years to get to a point where our economy must fall. And out of the ashes of our economy must arise a plan to add us into the global economy of the world. There has already been talks about the Amero, uniting Canada, the North America, and Mexico in one currency. If you look up something called the Club of Rome, there was a Club of Rome, and they've divided the world into 10 land regions, and each region represented an economic region or governmental region in the one world government or the one world plan. We know from the book of Revelation for years that there was going to be a one world government, because the Bible tells us about the beast, the image of the beast, and his prophet. And how the beast, this image that came out of the water, we know the Bible, in the Bible, in prophetic revelation, water means people. So this beast that he saw come out the waters was this man that came out of the nations. He came from the peoples, but he was placed over the nations, and he ruled the whole world. He didn't just pop up and rule the whole world at one time. This happened slowly as economies began to fail and as solutions had begun to be proposed to do this and to do that, and everything was synthesizing together. This is why you see all these countries, or it looks like, you know, all these economies are crashing. This stuff has been planned for years and has been set up. So to give the appearance that these economies are crashing, these people cannot rule their countries, so we need to come together and we need to synthesize and centralize government. We need to centralize power. We need to centralize rule. And if we go to Revelation chapter 13, and you can see in Revelation chapter 13, and I'm going to read from there so you can see that this is in your Bible and this is in your scriptures. And I'm going to I just want to admonish you, you know, wherever you are, you know, you need to do a Bible study. You need to get in your word. People need to know the word. They need to know the Bible. There's going to come a day with the seal of God, the mark of God. You need to memorize the word of God. If you don't have a Bible, let the word be in your mind. If there's a day where you can't read your Bible, if there's a day where you're in seclusion and you're separated or you're persecuted, you need to have the word of God in your mind. And let the word of God be the seal of God in your mind so you can take it wherever you go. If you go to the book of Revelation, and this is John, and he says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea." We said sea represented water. I mean, sea represented water, but the peoples. And he said, "Having 7 heads and 10 horns." Now, I just told you about the Club of Rome having the 10 land regions. Okay, 7 heads and 10 horns. What you need to know, there are several groups that rule. You know, you have Bilderberger Group, Trilateral Commission, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations. You always have inner circles in, you have circles within circles. So if there is a 10-nation federation, there is always going to be a circle within that who centralizes and consolidates that power. But this is John, and he says, "The beast he saw was like unto a leopard. His feet was as the feet of a bear, his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power." We know that the dragon is a representation of Satan. If you go to Revelation chapter 12, it gives you the whole picture of Satan. It talks about it gives you that revelation. You know, Satan is the dragon and how he used his tail, and he slew a third of the stars of heaven that fell with him. We know stars are another terminology used in the Bible to represent angels. So when it says that the dragon used his tail and he took a third of the stars of heaven, it's saying that Satan, when he was cast from the heights of heaven, a third of the angels fell down with him. And these angels are with him. That's why he's called Lord of those that fly. And so when you talk about hierarchy in satanic kingdom, you talk about Satan. He has those angels that fell with him as his princes. And then we have the disembodied spirits of these giants from the book of Genesis who fall as imps, and they fall in rank, and they're also under his control. Verse 3 says, "And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death." We know what this means. The Bible talks about this Antichrist. He has a wound, but he miraculously comes back alive. Verse 4, "And they worshiped the dragon and gave power to the beast." Now, the dragon represents Satan. So the Bible is clear. Satan, they worship Satan. Hello, Hollywood. Hello, secret societies. They worship Satan, and they gave power to the beast. So when you do your own research, you will find out even in Freemasonry, the real God that they worship in Freemasonry is Lucifer. You know, you talk to Freemasons, if you know people that are Freemasons, the real entity that they worship is Lucifer, because Lucifer is the light bearer. If you go back into history, you'll find out that a lot of ancient cultures, even in Satanism and devil worship, but a lot of pagan cultures, they believe that Satan was not evil. They believe that Satan represents wisdom. Satan represents knowledge. Satan represents information. So Satan to them is the light bearer. Satan to them is the one who, here it goes, Satan to them is the one who illuminates. Satan to them is the one who brings the light. And this can connect into where we get the terminology or the word Illuminati. And that's a whole other discussion. But Satan is the one that brings light and information. It says here that they worship Satan. They worship Satan. And they worship the dragon. And they said the dragon gave power to the beast. How does Satan give power to the beast? The beast is the Antichrist. How is Satan giving power to the beast? Through the system of this world. What is the system of this world? The Babylonian system. Economics runs everything. This is why you find people who are quote-unquote elite or they're high up. They teach their kids to master mathematics, to master economics, and they get into business because economics is over everything else. If you control the economics, you can control everything else. Satan gave power to this beast through the economic system of the world. And by raising up people in key places, by overturning governments over in here, by communicating, by connecting the dots together, and by crushing, going into other countries. You know, Satan, he infiltrates other countries by crushing their governments, by going in there making it look like they don't know what they're doing. And the people who watch TV, we're looking at the media, not knowing that the media is also being controlled like a puppet. You just see opposite extremes. One tactic that Satan is the best philosopher and the best theologian that you will ever find, and Satan is also the biggest psychologist. And what he will do, he will play you with yourself. He will play you with yourself. So it's just a tactic of the enemy to create your own opposition. I'm going to create my own opposition. So when the real opposition joins what looks like my opposition, I created it. So now I can pull all of your tactics because now you fell right into my trap. Or when we look at TV, as the saying goes, Satan likes to create laws. He likes to put laws in action, and then he keeps the people in derision by discussing the interpretation of the law while he sits back and picks and chooses which interpretation he can use to suit his purposes at any given time. And this is also done within modern-day law. A law is made, and while people are arguing over the interpretation of a law or how it is to be applied, it keeps people in confusion and derision while people are behind the scenes doing what they need to do undercover. It creates a mirage. And so that's why you have to go in prayer and you have to get revelation. And what God's about to release, he's about to release the spirit of Elijah. Because just like when Elijah, and I can't remember if it was Elijah or Elisha, but one of them were in war and they kept getting the strategic tactical plans of the enemy. And every time the enemy moved, they did not understand how the people that they were at war with knew what they were going to do because God revealed it to the prophet. These are the days that people need to get in prayer and get the tactics of the enemy revealed to them. See what's going on. And once it's revealed to you, what do? You have to begin to organize your life to prepare for it. Whether it's business, you have to get your ducks in a row. Whether it's going to school, getting a degree, you need to get education. Education gives you position, and position gives you influence. And influence gives you access to great men, and access to great men gives you access to greater men, greater positions of influence, and access to resources. So you must get education. Education opens a door so that your gift can be placed on display. But if you don't do what you need to do to open those doors to get to a place where it can be placed on display, then the people who can help you or the people who God wants to place you in front of, like Daniel, so you can be over some resources like Joseph was in Egypt, it'll never happen. God needs to open some doors, and we need to get strategic in our prayers. And in verse 5 in Revelation 13, and it says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months." 40 and 2 months is about 3.5 years. It's funny that the United Nations, there's been a discussion over how long someone, if they was going to elect someone to preside over the United Nations, how long should they be in that position? Should it be 4 years? Should it be 7 years? I mean, you know, excuse me, should it be 3 years or should it be 7 years or, you know, should it be 4 years? Should it be 9 years? You know, but it's kind of funny if you look at those terms, about a 7 year time period. Some people, you know, have looked at that and mentioned that a 7 year time period might be a time period that would be more feasible. But this gentleman here, of course, this beast, they said they gave him power for 3.5 months to rule and to do what it is that he was doing. In Revelation, we see the beast. The beast is the future king. King can be connected to royalty. Of course, the royalty of the United States are senators. So you must liken like to like. So a king could also mean a world political leader, someone who's over a country. The beast is a future kingdom, and he's a future spirit. And now one of the things that we do need to understand is that Satan, it is believed that Satan will send a spirit from the abyss to embody this body, to embody a physical body or this Antichrist, so that he can use this gentleman to run the world and to do what he needs to do. And the Christian church, we think Satan is going to be some evil, you know, entity, you know, doing this and doing that. To those of us who have actually ran into the devil and cast out demons and deal with them, you understand that Satan will be some of the smartest people that you know, some of the most mannerable people that you know, some of the most affluent people that you know. Like when you see these crimes and stuff, people always think that people who are pedophiles or people who murder, and these people come from the bottom of society, when they're really hiding among those who have money, power, and who have influence, because they feel they can do whatever they want to do and get away with it because of what they have. Why is all this pertinent? Bringing all this back in. We went from Genesis. You're talking about the fallen angels. You're talking about the spirits that are here. We're talking about the giants that were here, giants that are still here right now. Jesus said the same things that was going to happen in the days of Noah will happen right now. This is why we have UFO sightings. This is why we have UFO sightings. It sounds just like Noah. The same sons of God. The Bible says in Noah that in Genesis, that the sons of God came down. They went, they mixed with the daughters of man, and they had, and giants was the resulting progeny, this hybrid. When you hear people give UFOs, look it up. When they talk about UFO abductions, some of these people, and most of them will tell you that these entities are abducting them, and they say that they're performing, they're taking their semen, they're taking their women's eggs, and they're performing surgical procedures on them dealing with their organs, with their sexual reproductive organs. Now, whether you believe in UFOs or not does not negate the fact that they just might exist. UFOs, of course, meaning unidentified flying object. UFOs, whether they're fallen angels, UFOs, to me, they're one and the same. This is also the same entities that we see when you go back in history, how King said they believe they had the blood of the gods flowing through them because, you know, you're talking about the progeny of these giants. You're talking about these entities still coming down, and these demons still do what they did before. What happens in some of these rituals, these satanic rituals and these pagan rituals, they summon these same demon spirits down to possess a body, and then they have sex with that body so that that spirit can be transferred, and so that entities, you know, whether it's a child that's born or whatever the case is, it's usually a blood sacrifice because life is in the blood. But they have sex with these entities once the entity has possessed a human being. And it's called sexual magic, and that's a whole nother story, another teaching, but that's what happens. They are still mixing with the human race today, and they are coming down. We're not seeing it in abundance that it was then, but what we're seeing now is when they're mixing with humankind, when a demon spirit comes in contact with the human body, it causes all sorts of malignancies. It mutates the genetic structure of a human. And so once the genetic code is mutated, the information is in disarray, and that results in people being deformed, sometimes people being sick. We see some of the most heinous deformities in humans based off, and it comes out of some of the countries, and when you do the research from their beliefs and some of their rituals and their religions and what they had access to and the generational curses and demons and devils that are connected with that, we understand that these demons are manifesting themselves through these people. All they want to do is make it hard on the human race. These demonic spirits, they are here, they exist, and we're going to go on a short break. And when we come back, we're going to finish the show. We're going to kind of connect this in a little bit. When we come back, we're going to kind of connect this in more so with politics. We're going to talk about politics.
Come on, put those hands together now.
welcome you back to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Show and Broadcast. This is your host, Calvin Ford, having a prophetic discussion on tonight. We're talking about end times. So I want you to get back to life. I want you to tune in. I want to go to the chat room, get to the chat room. I get questions, get a call. Sit back, relax, and be blessed. Awesome. I just want to welcome you guys back to the show. We've been talking a little bit. We got into a whole lot, but I still, it was necessary. And so we're going to continue on in that wise. I think I have a caller here. I don't know if they're just listening, but I'm going to put you in here. You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. So we're going to continue on. Now, leading up to this, everything that's going on now in politics, these are the same ancient spirits, the principalities. I remember Perry Stone did a series called The Ancient Spirits. These are the same demonic spirits that strove with Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, the same ones that Moses had to deal with. They were a stronghold. They got into the people. They got into the political systems of the day. Even with Moses dealing with Pharaoh, they wanted to put – these are the same demons. Listen, they want to put people in bondage so they can control everybody and do whatever they want to do. People that they are afraid of, they want to put – or do not understand. They want to put you in bondage. They want to be able to control you. This is why Satan loves technology. Now, some people – might not agree with this, but Satan loves technology. Satan loves the idea that there's always a piece of technology that he can use. There's always a piece of technology that he is able to use to get more information on you. How many of you guys know, if you've ever dealt with witches or warlocks, some of them have the ability to send spirits out. When you see a picture of a witch or a warlock, like when you were in school, you'll see a witch with, let's use Gargamel on the Smurfs. If you ever watched the cartoon Gargamel and the Smurfs, you will see Gargamel. Gargamel had a cat. That cat was called his familiar. And if you notice on the storyline of the Smurfs, he would send that cat out to get information, or he would for him and to bring him information, or he would send that cat out to do tasks and do things for him. And it was usually to do something for him against somebody that had something that he wanted. And so what we see, we even see that there, that cat was called a familiar. So what you see, witches and warlocks, they will use, or they will have the capability to raise up a spirit, whether it's, in Haiti, whether it's through a zombie, whether it's through, voodoo. Now, people talk about white magic, black magic, white voodoo, good, bad. It's all, if it's not dealing with Yahweh, which is the God of the Bible, and his son Jesus Christ, then that you are a thief and a robber. You're not coming through the correct door. Unless you come through Jesus, the self-same is a thief and a robber. So we understand that no matter what religion it is, it's still the same thing. They are using spirits to raise them up in individuals, peoples, animals, cats, dogs. Sometimes they use inanimate objects, but they raise spirits up, and they send these familiar spirits out because these spirits, and Satan has used this tactic in the spirit realm from forever. He sends these spirits out to gain information on you and about you, to gain information on you when you're sleeping, through different things that you do that open up your minds to the demonic realm. So every action that you do that opens up to an area that Satan controls, he now has access to you. Satan loves to control information. He loves to gather information. And it's the same thing these spirits, through humans, are doing today. They love technology. They want to gather information. They love to use the internet. They love to consolidate everything. And I'll tell you that the internet itself will even be controlled, as far as being able to control or to be able to put limits on the internet on what you can do and what you cannot do. Because right now, the airwaves and the internet, you'll be able to just connect with anybody across the world and be able to share information. So Satan loves to gather information about people that he wants to attack. And it's no different than these same modern-day spirits. They love technology. These spirits are possessing people who love technology. That's why they get in politics and big industry and the technological area, because the more technology, the more information that he can get on people, and the more information you get on people, the more control and power you can have on people. And you can begin to blackmail people or threaten people if they don't do what you want them to do. So it's all still in the guise of manipulation and witchcraft. It all falls into that same vein. These are the same spirits that had that were over Egypt. These are the same spirits over the government of Babylon, over the government of Rome. You know, Rome, you had emperor worship. You know, in Babylon, the king was divine. In Egypt, the king was also divine. He put the people in bondage for around 430 years. Why? So that he can have a source to build his kingdom. And because the people, they knew their God, but they didn't know the power of their God. And God brought them revelation concerning that. Now I'm going to tie this in a little bit more. We talk about these same spirits, but we have to speak about, we talk about end times, we talk about these ancient demons, these ancient spirits. You have to kind of connect it today to what's going on in the political scene, especially what's going on with what's going on in the Middle East. We know that the 1040 parallel, which is the area of the Middle East, it's an area over in the Middle East. It is the 10th, between the 10th and 40th parallel. It is the part of the planet that all of the world's religions, or major world religions, and the abundance of them, came out of. One of those religions being Islam. Going to tell you some things about Islam, because it needs to connect it with the Antichrist. If the Antichrist is this ruler that needs to take over and will have control of everybody, then these are some interesting facts that you really need to have about Islam. Now, Islam, and this is why they're so, you know, adamant about what they do. They believe in the rise of a final Islamic prophet. And this, and what's funny about their prophet that they're looking for, their prophet in Islam fits the same qualifications of the Antichrist in the Bible. And it says all of Islam, now check this out, I want you to look at this. All of Islam is looking for this final prophet. Now, the name of this prophet is called the Mahdi. The Mahdi can be translated as the expected one. And what happened is they call him a twelver. And it's in the Shia. It's in the Shia doctrine. And they've taught this for a long while. It's called the 12. And what they believe is, because this was a while back, they had a 12th imam. His name was Muhammad al-Mahdi. And he disappeared in Samarra, Iraq, some 60 miles north of Baghdad in the year 873 or 874. And this is what is believed. So they believe that this guy disappeared, but at the end time, they believe that he will reappear. And they believe that his name will be Muhammad, that he will be a direct descendant of the prophet Muhammad through Muhammad's daughter Fatima or Fatima. They also believe that his father's name will be the same as that of Muhammad's father. They believe that this guy, this is the Islam's prophet, they believe that he will appear just before the end of the world during a time of great difficulty. They also believe that he will convert the world to the Islamic faith. They believe that a Syrian army will attack him, but they will be destroyed. And when this happens, both Iraq and Syria will unite to pledge their allegiance to him. Sounds interesting. Right now with Syria, we got Iraq, Turkey, you have all of these countries, Pakistan. These are you have a lot of Islamic countries that are over in the Middle East. They believe that he will take Turkey through force. And they believe that this Mahdi will reunite all of Islam. And then after he reunites Islam, he will take over the entire world in the name of Islam. And they believe that he will take conquest over Spain, and under his leadership, that there's going to be great prosperity for Islam, gold and silver for his followers. Of course, they believe that this gentleman will rise from the east, and he will come riding on a white horse, and that he will be a military leader. See, this is what is really fueling these people in the Middle East. They're getting very hyped up concerning, you know, their military actions. But they believe that this guy will fill this description. And those that do not obey his orders will be beaten and then beheaded. He will rule according to many for a period of 7 years. We discussed this earlier. And at the same time, now this is what they teach, that at the same time that what they call Isa, who is Jesus, they believe that Jesus will descend into Damascus and that he will call people to Islam and will break the cross and will kill the swine. Now, this is what they believe. They believe that the Mahdi, that this guy that they're looking for to come back as their prophet, they believe that when he comes back, that Jesus will come back with him. But when Jesus comes back with him, that Jesus will descend down into Damascus, and Jesus will break Christianity, that Jesus will kill the swine, who they call Jews, and that he will slay the Al-Darjal, which is an Islamic type of antichrist. They believe that this is what Jesus would do. So basically they believe that Jesus is going to reign with this guy and say that he really was not the Son of God and basically denounce Christianity and Jewish and the Jewish faith. And they believe that an animal will come speaking and call the people back to him. Now, that was a lot. That's a lot of things that they believe that this entity would do, that this gentleman would do. Now, they are looking for their Mahdi, their leader, their salvific leader to come back. That's who they are looking for. But then in the Bible, he meets the same qualifications as the Antichrist. He meets the same qualifications at the Antichrist. And you know, when we talk about the Antichrist, the Bible lets us know that he will come from the east, according to the book of Daniel. They say that he will come riding on a white horse, that he will be here for 7 years as well. Those who disobey him will be beaten and beheaded. Turkey and Rome will fall to him. You know, we understand this. So there is a lot of comparisons, a lot of good comparisons with the gentleman that they're looking for to be their Mahdi and the Antichrist of the Bible. What does this mean? This means that the times are close, that the time is at hand. And so that means we need to heighten up, especially as Christians, our prayer lives. We need to heighten up what we are doing, what we are saying. And what I want to do at this point is give you some tools to be able to do that with. I believe in prayer. Prayer needs to be strategic and it needs to be aimed. It doesn't need to be haphazard. So no longer do we need to get up, especially those who are prophets and have that prophetic anointing, or just the people of God in general. You have to get up in the morning. You have to command your morning. Contrary to popular belief, it was not just Cindy Trim. There's a gentleman, Dr. Daniel Olakoya. They are commanding your morning prayers. So you need to command your morning. Commanding your morning is getting up before the sun comes up and programming the sun, moon, and the stars, and deprogramming the sun, moon, and the stars from what witches and warlocks have prayed into the elementals, what they have prayed into the atmosphere, what they have prayed by way of curses and hexes into the atmosphere. You get up during those same hours and you decree and declare and you program the sun, moon, and the stars and the elements, and you program the day to operate according to the will of God. That's what commanding your morning is. And then praying against principalities, powers, rulers, and darkness, and praying for your political leaders, praying for our president, praying for politicians, and praying for them. It's not just praying that God will bless them, but it's going behind the scenes and doing warfare on their behalf, coming against spirits and demons of deceptions, demons and spirits of miscarriage, and the major spirits that you need to pray for is you need to pray against a spirit of remote control, which is a spirit that seeks to control entities or the human will by remote. You need to pray against a spirit of remote control. You need to pray against the spirit of mind manipulation. You need to pray against the spirit of mind control and the spirit of witchcraft and idolatry. The spirit of remote control, the spirit of mind control, the spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of idolatry, and the spirit of mass manipulation. These are spirits that you need to pray against. Spirits are nothing more than frequencies. There is no higher or greater frequency than the frequency of God. When you speak, it is the amplification of the power of God that goes out of your mouth to create what you speak, and it has the power to resist the devil and push him out of the way. So when you decree and declare, you have to be strategic and you have to be specific on what you're praying about. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, and this actually is what he wants you to do as well. This is what the Christians need to do. I'm going to give you a list of books, well, just a few. The first book I'm going to mention is a book that if you are not really spiritually fortified, it will scare you. So the author is Rebecca Brown. She's a medical doctor. Now, the book is He Came to Set the Captives Free. In the book He Came to Set the Captives Free, this woman talks about her story and how she dealt with Satanists who were in the healthcare field, and how they would draw close to people who were in intensive care and people who were dying. They would draw their blood, they would kill them, and how those people were kind of in torment, but they would get close to them, they would make sure they would die so they could get their blood and do some other things with it. And she just tells you about her story and how she was tracked and chased and, you know, how some different things happened in her life and how witches and warlocks that she, there were some witches and warlocks that she had to fight and she had to deal with. They astral projected to her. You know, they would come to her house. There was a lot of things that she had to deal with. So that book, He Came to Set the Captives Free, will open your mind to the level of demonic powers that are out there. While Satan wants to make you think that he's just this entity with these horns and he just is harmless, and how a Satanist will tell you that they believe that Satan is a figment of the imagination and how he psychologically represents the fears and the beast nature of human and all of this foolishness. Satan is real. He's Beelzebub. He is Belial. He is Satan. He's called the great adversary. He's called Belial. He's the son of perdition. He's Beelzebub, lord of those that fly. He's the slanderer. So he exists, and these demons exist. So Rebecca Brown, MD, He Came to Set the Captives Free. She also has another book called Unbroken Curses. You need to get that, read that. It will open up your eyes to the depth of witchcraft and satanic powers that he uses. Also, it opened up your mind to warlocks. Because what is witchcraft? Witchcraft is nothing more than the control, is the attempt to control and manipulate the human spirit. And a warlock operates in sorcery. And when you talk about sorcery, period, you know, you talk about mass control and the mass control of the human will. And once you control someone through witchcraft, sorcery is now used to use that person to control other people, or to use that person for your personal agenda and for your own personal will. So this is demonic. God has given us free will. That's why we are free in Christ. When you're in Christ, the blood of Jesus protects us from these things, but we still do not need to be ignorant of the devices of Satan. And a lot of us are losing battles because we're ignorant. We don't know how to pray strategically concerning sickness and disease, concerning our country, our nation, or our city. The next book I want to give you is called Annihilating the Hosts of Hell. It's called Annihilating the Hosts of Hell, and it is by Win Worley. Win Worley is an old, he goes way back. Win Worley is one of the people that introduced to us the case studies on dealing with demons. You know, you had little girls who had dolls. To those of us that know about dolls, dolls go back to, dolls were first used in witchcraft. You make an image of someone, and you get something that's close to that person. They used dolls in witchcraft, but in the 1700s, people went abroad, and they brought that concept to the United States. In this book, Win Worley, you will see in here, he has case studies where, you know, you had girls, you had women, actually you had a parent and they had a daughter. The daughter got sick and they could not understand. These were Christian parents. They had brought the daughter dolls, all sorts of toys. Come to find out, the daughter said that the dolls were speaking to her at night. So you have kids that tell you, you know, that this talks or that talks, and, you know, we just think it's their imagination. She said these dolls were speaking to her. But the father said that he believed that it was something deeper. It was a spirit. He took all the dolls and he took them to throw them in the trash. When he grabbed the child's dolls to throw them in the trash and he got them out of the house, the daughter got worse because she said those dolls were her friends. They were speaking to her. And so the daughter got worse. She got sick, but then she got better. And they found out that her daughter was being oppressed. You can be oppressed by demons. You can be possessed by demons. And so the daughter was being oppressed by him. Win Worley, in this book, Annihilating the Host of Hell, you will have a series of stories. These are case studies. These are real studies with people who have been possessed by demons, people that have had schizophrenia, people that have had Indian spirits. You'll find a lot of information, and it will give you inside information on an approach in dealing with demons and spirits and how they think and how they operate. And you need to know that so you can maneuver in the spirit realm and how you pray. And the last one I'm going to give you, and these are, and I'm giving you my arsenal. Now, this is my arsenal, is a book called Prayer Passport. The author is Dr. Daniel Olakoya. Dr. Daniel Olakoya is from Mountain of Fire Ministries. He's from Mountain of Fire Ministries. He has a degree in microbiology from the University of Lagos and a PhD in molecular genetics from the University of Reading in the United Kingdom. So he has over 70 publications to his credit. But this gentleman has written this book called Prayer Passport. It's a leather-bound book. It looks like a passport, but it's called Prayer Passport to Crush Oppression. and it's over 600. It's over 800 and some pages. But in it, you will find prayer programs, and I'm going to list a few. You know, these are prayer programs that you will find for foundational deliverance. Beelzebub must die. Power against rock spirits. Neutralizing satanic verdicts. Balaam must die. I shall not backslide. Power against the spirit of the snail. Dealing with the spirit of the dog. Prayers to receive spiritual strength. Prayer against witchcraft. Destroying the destroyer. You know, moving forward by fire. Fire against miscarriage. So these are prayers that he has outlined, and you can really follow these prayers, and you can use them as a template, but these are prayers that work. They are aimed. They're aimed using the fire of God. They are aimed, and they are programmed to bring you deliverance and power. And I'm going to close up, and I'm going to end this show right now. I've given a lot of information in this show. This show has a lot of information going from Genesis to these ancient spirits and trying to connect the same agenda of these ancient demonic spirits to Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, and connecting the two to political agendas that you see going on around the world and how these spirits are influencing human individuals to bring about a new world order or a one world government by which they can raise up the Antichrist. And with the Antichrist, we know that Satan will control him, and there will be the beast, the Antichrist, the image of the beast, and there will be his false prophet. And so we can see there are signs of this coming to pass right now. We see the dulling of the minds of individuals. And another reason for this broadcast was because our youth need to be warned. Music is being programmed. It's called backmasking. So there are spells and hexes being placed in a lot of the music that the kids listen to, a lot of the hip-hop music. When they listen to it, their conscious does not pick it up, but their subconscious picks it up. And so this is why you have people on YouTube, and they tell you, play these songs backwards. And when you play them backwards, you will hear it. Why? It's another method of programming witchcraft. It's another method of trying to control the minds of people so that you can get their money, so that you can control them, dull them down to any ethics, dull them down to having morals, so that anything goes. If anything goes, then those who have the power or control can do whatever they want to do. Because nobody's thinking for themselves. At the end of the day, being able to think for yourself and operate in your own intellectual capacity is the most dangerous weapon you could ever have, because once you have that, once you operate and you research and you know for yourself and you begin to act and pray and do, then you move the power of your will behind what you do. And nothing is more powerful in the universe than the power of the human will. And this is all that witches and warlocks use. They use their will to enact things. The Bible says power will give. The Bible says anything is possible to them that believe. It does not say that anything is possible to them that believe and are saved. It says to them that believe. So any human, if they believe, they are made. Every human is made in the image of God. That means they have aspects about their spirit and the human will. They can create, they can imagine, and they can do as well. And so we need to get into the Word and understand the differences between how the world operates and how God wants us to operate. And we have a lot of people, even in Christianism, this is a warning. You have a lot of pastors who are in Satanism. You have a pastor, if they are a Freemason or an Eastern Star, it's demonic. Witchcraft. It's called witchcraft in the pews. That means nothing that they say. They are being used and they are being influenced by demonic spirits. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care how great it sounds. Jesus said, let your yes be your yes and your nay be your nay. Anything more than that is of the devil. And you have to take oaths and covenants to be a part of these secret societies, because they bind you for life. And so pastors who are part of secret societies, you need to find you another church, find somewhere else. Pastors who are consistently preaching about money and prosperity, find another church. You need to know what your anointing is. You need to know what your gifting is. You need to know how to pray, and you need to be praying and interceding, and you need to be fasting. This is a season you're going to enter into where you need to fast more. Fasting channels the power of God because it cuts off your connection with the physical realm. When you cut off your connection with the physical realm, your spiritual antenna is more attuned to the spirit realm. This is why when people go on protracted fasts, and I'm going to throw this book out there too. It's called Atomic Power with Fasting, and by Franklin Hall. Atomic Power with Fasting. These books, I guarantee you, if you are listening and you listen to this program and write these books down, these books will change your life. Atomic Power with Fasting by Franklin Hall. These are people that fasted 40 days, 2 weeks, 50 days. They came out with no sickness. They came out preaching. You had 3, 4, 5, 6,000 people being saved and converted. This is the book of Acts. This is what God wants. And when you're operating out of a power like that, you don't even worry about your life. You do what God told you to do, and if you die, you die doing it. And anybody that dares to come against you, they come against not you, but they come against the Lord. So these are the days that we need to really just trust in God. You need to find out what your gift is, and you need to get to work doing what God has called you to do, because the times are near, and we need to be telling people what to do. We need to stop being afraid to go do a Bible study. If you belong to a church, you can still go do a Bible study. Talk with your pastor. Your pastor don't want you to go spread the word, then they have a problem. We need to get out of this pastoral witchcraft and pastoral worship where pastors want to pull everybody to themselves, and anything that anybody does that's not sanctioned by them, they call it rebellion. Rebellion is those that fight against the will of God. And Jesus told us to preach this gospel and go into the world and go out and spread the word. There are so many means by which you can spread it. You can do Bible studies, cell groups. You can just talk to people. You can do stuff at work. You can use the radio, online radio, websites, a blog, start a ministry. Do something. The word needs to get out. And how you change people's lives is you change the way someone thinks. You change the way a man thinks, you change the actions that they take. You change the actions that they take, you change the environment or the world that's surrounded by them. Therefore, you change the world one person at a time. This is why the Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to teach this word. We need to have our minds washed by the word of God. And when the Bible uses the terminology washed by the word of God, it's giving you that you need to get the picture in your head. Remember in the Old Testament, and in the temple, the priests would come out in the outer court, and they would put their head. That was called a brazen laver, and it was brazen. It was made of brass, and it was polished, and it was filled with water. Well, when they put their hands in there to wash their hands, since it was reflective, when they put their hands in the water to wash their hands, and they looked down at it, they were looking at themselves. They were looking at a reflection. That is a type of every time you open up the Bible, you should see yourself in the word of God. You should see a reflection. So you open up the word of God to wash your own hands, to wash your own mind, but you should also, and you do that by seeing yourself in the scriptures. And when you get right, you can begin to bless other people and get them right. And again, emphasis is placed on eschatology. It is time. Jesus is coming back. The signs of the times are here. And while all of these things are happening, the saints are going to be blessed. The saints are going to be protected. And this is the confidence that we can have that God is going to take care of the saints, and he's going to protect his own until he comes back. And when he comes back, he's going to reign. He's going to sit on his throne, and he's going to sit right here in earth. And he's going to rule, reign, and have dominion. And as long as Christ is in us, we're going to rule, reign, and have dominion right now while we are here. So, again, I'm just urging you. Preach, pray, prophesy. Whatever your gift is, pray that God release it. Whatever it is that you want to do, do that. And I'm going to close in prayer, and we're going to close this show out. If you have any questions, I do want you to email me if you have anything that you would like to say or anything that you just like to find out any information about. Just send me an email, and you can go to the blog. There's a blog. There's a blog. I have a link on my Facebook, but there's a blog. I'm doing construction on the website, but there'll be a lot of materials and stuff there for you to go and get some information if that's what you want. If you're listening, I want you to, bow your head and pray with me, and we're going to pray and go out. Father, I thank you for this message. We pray in the name of Jesus that this message goes out on the airwaves, that it permeates the airwaves and touches the ears of everybody that hears this message from this point on, that you give them the spirit of revelation and wisdom and knowledge to be able to see the signs of the times and get spiritual depth politically and economically on what's going on, and give them prayer points to pray in Jesus' name. We bind up hindering spirits, powers, and dark spirits in dark places. We bind up the enemy, principal spirits, powers, rulers of darkness that are in the atmospheric regions, any spirits that are trying to control or trying to manipulate political leaders, our presidents, our senators, our congressmen, our mayors, our governors, in Jesus' name, even in our cities, and we bind that up. We decree and declare that Satan loses his hold on our youth through music. We decree and declare that there will be revolution even in the music. We decree and declare that the Holy Spirit fire will run Rashad even in the United States. Raise up a revival, Father God. Release and decree and declare your word and your will, and let the power of your Holy Ghost be manifested in Jesus' name. Release the blessing on your people. Give your people insight on what to pray, how to pray it. May they memorize the scriptures, and may they be strategically prophetic in their prayers. If you are listening, you have just been listening to Strategically Prophetic Radio. I want to thank you for tuning in. This is the first episode that we've done live. But we're going to start doing some more live sessions. I want to thank you for tuning in. www.strategicprophetic.com. Strategically Prophetic Radio. I want to thank you for tuning in. Until next time.